Belinda Audio Books presents this unabridged recording of A Soldier Returns. A long tan veteran discovers the other side of Vietnam. Written by Terry Burstall and read by Peter Hosking. A light drizzle pattered down on the 20 soldiers waiting to board the Qantas aircraft en route to war. It was May 1966 and I was 24 years old. I had joined the army 9 months before in order to help stop the communist aggressor from the north from pushing over the dominoes on the march to Australia. Wearing a set of jungle greens with slouch hat perched jauntily on my head, I felt both proud and apprehensive as I climbed on board. Once this flight started, I thought, my life would be changed forever. I had a wistful feeling about joining a long list of family forebears who had made this trip to war before me. I was entering the unknown, but determined to acquit myself well enough to be an equal partner in their circle. The mysterious, melodious word, Saigon, kept sounding in my head. It conjured up images of adventure. After a 24-hour stopover in Manila, we boarded an Air France plane for a flight to Vietnam. It was an eerie feeling flying over the Vietnamese countryside and realizing enemy troops might be hidden in the thick forest. When the plane circled Tan Son Nhu Airport for landing, it was late afternoon. There seemed to be every sort of plane imaginable on the strip. Along one side of the airfield were concrete bays for fighters, and boxes and stores ran literally for miles. After waiting some time in the dull, dirty concrete terminal, a bus pulled up and a warrant officer told us to get on it. A large, unsmiling Negro in an Air Force uniform sat behind the wheel, bored and disinterested. All the windows of the grey-brown bus were covered with thick wire mesh, so a grenade could not be lobbed inside. No one missed the significance of this. When we got to the Australian Transit Hotel, the bored warrant officer told us to put our gear in a room and be ready to go to the Australian base at Benoit at 8 in the morning. That was it. No war, no weapons being fired, no one seemed to care in the least. Next morning it was raining, and the trip by truck to Benoit was slow. There were more people in that 50-kilometre ride than I had ever seen in my life. The paddies were full of water with shoots of rice just starting to show in places. In other fields there were men wearing conical hats, with their trousers rolled up above their knees, ploughing little blocks of water with dejected-looking water buffaloes, pulling old wooden single-furrow ploughs. Many of the farmers wore sheets of plastic wrapped round their shoulders in lieu of raincoats. Near Benoit City, we turned off the road and headed for the airfield where the Australian base was situated. Along this road were dozens of small shantytown bars. They were constructed of all kinds of building material, many of them covered in sheets of coke tin foil, with the labels visible to the world. Whoever sold the foil on the black market did a marvellous advertising job for Coca-Cola.